Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 24, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Text 59. Akshahininam Patibir Asurayar Dripa Lanchanai Bhuva Akramyamanaya Abaraya Krito Dyamaha Akshahini Nampati Bir Asurai Nipalanchanahai Bhuva Akramyamanaya Abaraya Krito Dyamaha Akshahini Namapati Bir Asurai Nipalanchanahai Bhuva Akramyamanaya Abaraya Krito Dyamaha Akshahini Nampati Bir Asuraya Nripalanchanahai Bhuva Akramyamanaya Abaraya Krito Dyamaha Shahini Mampati Bir Lanchanahai Shahini Nam Pati Bir Akshahini Nampati Bir Sayyidam Samahai Ramayaya Avaraya Krita Odyamaha. Vaishnavis, Akshahini Nampati Bir Asurai Nipalanchanai Vakramyamanaya Abaraya Krito Nyamaha Nina Patibir Rai Palanchanai Vakramyamanaya Abaraya Krito Nyamaha Akshahini nam pati bir Sarayavulanchanai Akhomyamanaya Araya kritodyamaha Akshahini nam Of kings possessing great military power. Patibihi, by such kings or government. Asurahai, actually demons, because they do not need such military power, but create it unnecessarily. Nripalanchanahai, who are actually unfit to be kings, although they have somehow taken possession of the government. Bhuvaha, on the surface of the earth. Akramyamanayaha, aiming at attacking one another. Abaraya, paving the way for diminishing the number of demons on the surface of the earth. Krita Udyamaha, enthusiastic. They spend all the revenue of the state to increase military power. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although the demons who take possession of the government are dressed like men of government, they do not know the duty of the government. Consequently, by the arrangement of God, such demons who possess great military strength fight with one another, and thus the great burden of demons on the surface of the earth is reduced. The demons increase their military power by the will of the Supreme, so that their numbers will be diminished, and the devotees will have a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. Please repeat. Although the demons who take possession of the government are dressed like men of government, they do not know the duty of the government. Consequently, by the arrangement of God, such demons who possess great military strength fight with one another, and thus the great burden of demons on the surface of the earth is reduced. The demons increase their military power by the will of the Supreme, so that their numbers will be diminished, and the devotees will have a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. Very heavy verse and an equally heavy purport. So purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:8, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayacha duskritam. The sadhus, the devotees of the Lord are always eager to advance the cause of Krishna consciousness so that the conditioned souls may be released from the bondage of birth and death. But the asuras, the demons, impede the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement. And therefore, Krishna arranges occasional fights between different asuras who are very much interested in increasing their military power. The duty of the government or king is not to increase military power unnecessarily. The real duty of the government is to see that the people of the state advance in Krishna consciousness. For this purpose, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvarnya Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, quote, according to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me, end quote. There should be an ideal class of men who are bona fide brahmanas, and they should be given all protection. Namo brahmanya devaya, go brahmana hitaya cha. Krishna is very fond of the brahmanas and cows. The brahmanas promulgate the cause of advancement in Krishna consciousness, and the cows give enough milk to maintain the body in the mode of goodness. The kshatriyas and the government should be advised by the brahmanas. Next, the vaishyas should produce enough foodstuffs, and the sudras, who cannot do anything beneficial on their own, should serve the three higher classes, the brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas. This is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that the conditioned souls will be released from the material conditions and return home back to Godhead. This is the purpose of Krishna's descent on the surface of the earth, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chadushkritam. Everyone must understand Krishna's activities, janma karma chame divyam. If one understands the purpose of Krishna's coming to this earth and performing his activities, one is immediately liberated. This liberation is the purpose of the creation and Krishna's descent upon the surface of the earth. Demons are very much interested in advancing a plan by which people will labor hard like cats, dogs, and hogs, but Krishna's devotee wants to teach Krishna consciousness, so that people will be satisfied with plain living and Krishna conscious advancement. Although the demons have created many plans for industry and hard labor, so that people will work day and night like animals, this is not the purpose of civilization. Such endeavors are jagato hitaha. That is, they are meant for the misfortune of the people in general. Chayaya, such activities lead to annihilation. One who understands the purpose of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, should seriously understand the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement and seriously take part in it. one should not endeavor for ugra karma or unnecessary work for sense gratification. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritya aprinoti. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4. Simply for sense gratification, people make plans for material happiness. Maya sukhayam baram udvato vimudhan. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.43. They do this because they are all vimudhas, rascals. For flickering happiness, people waste their human energy, not understanding the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement. But instead of accusing the simple devotees of brainwashing, I'm going to read that sentence again. For flickering happiness, people waste their human energy, not understanding the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement, but instead accusing the simple devotees of brainwashing. Demons may falsely accuse the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement, but Krishna will arrange a fight between the demons in which all their military power will be engaged, and both parties of demons will be annihilated. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, both in the verse and in the purport, we get some insight into current affairs, you know, the affairs of... the affairs of this material world and Krishna's appearance in it. I'll read the verse again. Although the demons who take possession of the government are dressed like men of government, they do not know the duty of government. Consequently, by the arrangement of God, such demons who possess great military strength fight with one another, and thus the great burden of demons on the surface of the earth is reduced. The demons increase their military power by the will of the Supreme, so that their numbers will be diminished and the devotees will have a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. Now, around the time that Srila Prabhupada was translating this verse and writing this purport, there was a lot of tension between the communist and the capitalist, you know, both of them which were armed with nuclear weapons. And, you know, there was some fear there was going to be a third world war. Actually, in India, there was a very tense situation. You know, the devotees were there with Srila Prabhupada. You know, some of his Western disciples had gone to India to bring the Krishna consciousness movement back to its homeland. And during those years, there was a war between Pakistan and India. And the Americans were supporting Pakistan, and Russia was supporting India, and you know, Srila Prabhupada went on a morning walk with his devotees, and he was saying there could be a world war, you know, at that time, because he said the Americans, you know, they've moved their aircraft carriers off the coast of Pakistan, and Russia is coming also, but somehow it didn't happen. I mean, Srila Prabhupada and his discussions with his disciples, you know, they would be asking him, well, what will happen? And he would say, well, there could be this world war, third world war, unless the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement prevents it. So we actually know that even at that time, the Krishna consciousness movement was beginning to spread in the former Soviet Union. You know, Srila Prabhupada had gone there, and some few devotees had taken it up and were beginning to spread it to others. And eventually, the whole Soviet Union collapsed. So there wasn't a world war at that time. But now things are building up again. But although in the verse and in the purport, we're hearing about how governments spend huge amounts of money on these military forces beyond what is actually necessary. Because even in Vedic society, there were armed forces. You know, there were Kshatriyas who were responsible for keeping law and order according to religious principles. But even then, you know, there were wars. There was the Battle of Kurukshetra. Ram had a big battle with Ravana and his forces. The demigods and the demons were sometimes fighting. But the difference in the age of Kali is that pretty much everyone is extremely materialistic, and they're not very purely motivated in terms of upholding religious principles, the principles of Dharma, like that. So Srila Prabhupada said that in the modern age, they have these big wars, like World War I, World War II, maybe World War III, but there's very little difference between, you know, the fighting parties, and therefore nothing really changes. There was World War I, huge big battles, millions and millions of people dying, huge amounts of wealth being spent, and it was bad for everyone who participated, and nothing was solved. And within a few years, Srila Prabhupada said, history records, there was another world war, second world war, and maybe, you know, someday there'll be a third. Although it seems that, to me anyways, that because of the Krishna consciousness movement spreading around the world, things aren't as bad as they possibly could be. In terms of government spending on military forces and the amount of conflict that there actually is, during World War II, the American government spent about 60% of its gross domestic product on military, you know, fighting the Germans and the Japanese. So gross domestic product means the total amount of wealth, you know, that's generated in a country in a year. So they were taking 60% and spending it on the military. And it was pretty much the same in all the other countries, too. They were spending practically everything they had on warfare and destroying each other, as Srila Prabhupada said. Now, today, the American government spends between 3 and 4% of its gross domestic product on its military. It's still a huge amount of money. It's about $585 billion. But it's as much as the next 10 or 15 countries combined, or as the next biggest country spending on its military is China, which spends about $120 billion. In other words, 3 or 4 times less. Then comes Russia with $70 billion, and then down from there. And America spends $585 billion, which I said is as much as the next 10 or 15 countries. But it's nowhere near as much as when they were engaged in big world wars. So perhaps because of the spread of the Krishna consciousness movement, we're not seeing big world wars. But in any case, Srila Prabhupada is still making the point that whatever it is, it's too much and it's more than is necessary that's being spent in this way. And another point that Srila Prabhupada has made is that in Vedic times, the warfare was confined to the professional class of military people for the most part. The Kshatriyas would fight each other on battlefields away from the cities. But Srila Prabhupada said in one of his talks that in the modern age, it's people versus people, yeah, because now there's democracy, so-called, and the people elect representatives, and the representatives get together, and they decide on what. So everybody's kind of implicated in modern warfare. Like if there were going to be, a nuclear war in the future, everyone would suffer, not just, you know, the military people. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, that's because everybody's actually involved. Of course, then there's the whole issue of the tremendous amount of karma that's being generated by killing animals for meat eating. Back in the 1980s, there were a lot of protests against the nuclear arms race between Russia and America. I remember writing one article for Back to Godhead magazine at that time called The Myth of the Innocent Citizen, that the citizens are all protesting that maybe they're going to get wiped out, by some world war. But if we look at the issue from the standpoint of the Vedic literature, we can see that all of these peace marchers and others, for the most part, are engaged in either directly or indirectly in the killing of animals, innocent animals like cows, and then others as well, chickens, lambs, goats, fish, so on and so forth, but especially the cows that are so dear to Krishna. So they also have some responsibility because somehow or other that karma is going to come back on them. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that because of this, every so often there are big wars in the world. So actually there should be a new standard for judging what is a successful nation or a successful civilization. Now people tend to judge things in terms of economic development and sense gratification. You know, if a country is very rich and prosperous and there's lots of sense gratification for everybody, they consider that to be the mark of a successful civilization. But the real way to judge the success of a society or a nation or a civilization is how many souls are going back to the spiritual world. You know, that is the actual measure of a successful civilization. Of course, now the problem is most of the nations and civilizations don't even agree that there is a soul. You know, under the influence of the materialistic scientists, you know, many people just think there isn't any soul. There isn't any God in control of the universe. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ohur anishvaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kamahaitakam. Yeah, they think there is no God, there is no soul, there's just matter, and you combine matter in different ways, and it's producing consciousness. So they have a very materialistic conception of what we are. You know, they would say, well, we're machines made of molecules. And what's our purpose? To produce and consume more and more material things. So, as Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, although demons have created many plans for industry and hard labor so that people will work day and night like animals, this is not the purpose of civilization. So the real purpose of civilization isn't to work hard, somehow or other get money, and then try to enjoy the material senses in as many ways as possible and with as few restrictions as possible. That is what most governments are promoting. And, you know, if on your own you want to believe in God and things like the soul, that's okay, but don't rock the boat. So, you know, sometimes I speak on radio shows about science and Krishna consciousness, and this question often comes up, well, what is behind the whole thing? And it's according to Krishna, there have always been two types of persons in this world. There's the suras, you know, the demigods or the devotees, and the asuras. And the asuras are motivated by the desire to enjoy independently of God. You know, they think, well, there's all this, these material resources here. They're for us to enjoy and exploit to the maximum extent possible in competition with each other. And that may mean fighting with each other and having big wars if necessary to control these material resources. But you know, the other type of personality is the one who understands aham brahmasmi. You know, I'm not a machine made of matter in competition with other machines made of matter. I am a spirit soul, and my origin lies beyond this world of matter, and I recognize all others as spirit souls as well, all human beings. You know, we shouldn't be dividing ourselves up into so many competing groups on the basis of superficial designations of the body. Our essential characteristic is that we are spirit souls, beings of pure consciousness. And on that level, we're all part of the same spiritual family. No need to divide ourselves up into so many competing, warring groups. And no need to spend all of our time trying to exploit the resources of this planet, you know, destroying the environment in the process. We should try to satisfy our material needs in the most simple, natural, and efficient way possible. And in Vedic civilization, there's a system for that. There's a system for regulated economic development, where it's recognized, yes, we have some material needs, and we can satisfy them in the most simple, natural, and efficient way possible, in the most fair way possible, too, because now there's overheated economic development, and the wealth that's generated by that overheated economic development is distributed in unfair ways because some people take advantage of the system and take more than is their natural share. I mean, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagat tena taktena bunjita magrita kasyasvidhanam. It's stated in the Isipanishad. Yeah, Krishna is providing for everyone, and one can take your fair share, but you shouldn't take more than legitimately belongs to you. Of course, it's a whole big issue in modern society today. People sense that somehow or other, the wealth that's being generated in human society is not being shared in a fair and equitable way, that some people are taking unfair advantage of the system to profit for themselves at the expense of others. And you know, people are concerned about that. But there won't be any ultimate solution to all of these economic problems, the problem of war, until people actually get the fundamentals correct. And in this verse and purport, Srila Prabhupada's giving some indications about that. Some very serious insights are being given here. So does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Rabindranath Prabhu.
Yes, if the Krishna conscious movement becomes like, let's say, the government of the United States of America, and considering that all these other countries have all these big military strength, would we maintain what we have right now, or would we just get rid of it all, or how would we what would we do in that situation?
Well, you know, Srila Prabhupada came to America for a reason. You know, he decided of all the places in the world, he wanted to come here. And, you know, he said America could become an ideal country to lead the entire world. So, even in Vedic society, there are military forces. There's Kshatriyas. So, according to this purport, it says the real duty of government is to see that the people of the state advance in Krishna consciousness or God consciousness in general. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say he didn't mind if somebody was a sincere Christian or follower of some other faith, but ultimately advance in Krishna consciousness. So for this purpose, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnya Mayashrastam. You know, so there are the four varnas. There should be an ideal class of men who are bona fide brahmanas. So if there are brahmanas who understand the actual purpose of human life and the actual purpose of human society, they would organize things in such a way that there is a governing and military class, the Kshatriyas, who are performing their duties properly. And they would ensure that there is the right kind of economic development going on among the Vaishyas, that there's... And they would take care of, and they would also take care of the other people as well. So they would have it's not that there wouldn't be any military or police, but they would be using the right amount of resources for the right purposes. Yes, back to Eric.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was just curious if there's any kind of attempt within ISKCON to like actually create like a situation to train up people in terms of like how to manage governments or how to, you know, effectively apply the precepts of Krishna consciousness out in the world.
It's an ongoing effort. There are members of the Krishna consciousness movement who are involved in government, you know, who have either they're working in government or they have some elected post. From time to time, you know, we hear about such things through our Krishna conscious media. And gradually the Krishna consciousness movement is developing its educational institutions which are meant to train brahmanas, but also other categories of people. There are attempts to create educational opportunities for people who would take administrative posts in ISKCON. You know, there are efforts like that going on. And everything doesn't happen at once. I mean, the whole movement started, you know, with a small storefront center in New York, and gradually it's growing. But Sridhar Prabhupada said that even with Krishna, when he came to this world, he started out as a child and then gradually grew and manifested more and more activities. So we're still in the early stages of our movement. And but there are devotees who, because of the nature of our movement, we interact with government officials on all different levels, on the level of the city, on the level of the state, on the level of the nation. So much needs to be done. I mean, Srila Prabhupada sometimes spoke of having Varnashram colleges. You know, they haven't been fully instituted yet, but, you know, those instructions are there waiting to be acted on. Something else? Yes?
So, Prabhu, in the last part of Prabhupada's purport to today's verse, it is said that Krishna will arrange wars so that all the demoniac militaries, they will fight against one another, and they can be killed like that, you know. So is that means the First World War and Second World War were also arranged by Krishna like that?
As far as I can tell, yes, because, you know, before World War I, most of the world was ruled by monarchies, and these monarchies were becoming very degraded. You know, there was the Russian Tsar, there was this one, there was that one, there was an emperor in Austria, there was, and they were, and one way to look at it is they were engaged in warfare to exhaust their, as, you know, to reduce their numbers and like that. And the same thing during World War II. There were huge empires. There was the British Empire, French Empire, Dutch Empire. They were all German Empire. You know, they were all destroyed. Now, Srila Prabhupada has said about that, that if there was actually a country that was God-conscious, then Krishna would favor that country, because Pritranaya Sadhunam Vinashyati Dushkritam. But if everybody's pretty much the same, then Srila Prabhupada said there's wars, they exhaust each other, and then it builds up again, and then there's another one, and nothing really changes. But if there are people who are Krishna conscious, or governments that are Krishna conscious, then Krishna can take sides and not destroy both of them, or just have them engage in useless conflict. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.